want to think about something that has a connection to last week's Sedra and this coming week's Sedra. Vayigash and Vayichi. In last week's Sedra, we have that when Yaakov and Yosef are reunited, and Yaakov sees Yosef for the first time, says that Yosef cries on Yaakov, and it doesn't say that Yaakov is crying. And Chazal say the reason is that Yaakov at that moment was reading Kriyashma. The obvious question is, if it was a time for Kriyashma, then why wasn't Yosef reading Kriyashma? And if it wasn't time for Kriyashma, didn't Yaakov have something better to do? He hadn't seen his son for 22 years, now he has to read Kriyashma? So they're all different answers given. I'm going to tell you what I think. I haven't seen anybody say, but it seems to me very simple. We'll get to it in a second. In this week's Sedra, we have another reference to Kriyashma. It says that when Yaakov Avinu called his children in, and he wants to tell them when Mashiach is coming, so it was hidden from him. And he thought perhaps the reason is that something's wrong with his children. So he says to them, maybe you're not all united in your service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't believe what I believe. And they proclaim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that our God is one. And Yaakov answers, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Yolam Vo'ed. When the Torah was given, that Baruch Shem Kavod is not mentioned in the Torah, but Yaakov said it, so we say it low. Say it loud. Moshe didn't say it, but not to say it at all, Yaakov said it, so we say it low, except on Yom Kippur, then we say it out loud. I'll try to explain all these things in light of what I'm going to tell you. Why did Yaakov, when he met Yosef, read Kriyashma? And why wasn't Yosef reading Kriyashma? What seems to me very simple is the following. Let me read to you what Yaakov says prior to meeting his son Yosef. Here. Vayera ilav, it says that Yosef appeared to his father. Vayipol al tzavorav, he fell on his neck. Vayep al tzavorav, and he cried. Yosef cried, it's the first time he saw his father in 22 years. Vayomer Yisrael, and Yaakov said the following, El Yosef, Amusa hapam, I can die now. I feel now that I can die in peace. Till now, I was afraid that I was going to die in this world and the next world because you were taken from me, and that was a sign that maybe I lost my Olam Haba. And now, I can die peacefully. If I end my life now, it'll be okay with me. After I saw you, I'm ready to die. You're alive, now I feel fulfilled, I feel like I could die. Okay. If that doesn't answer why he said Kriyashma, I don't know what else. When do you say Kriyashma? Right before you die. And Yaakov said, I'm ready to die. If you're ready to die, what do? You say Kriyashma. And it answers why Yosef didn't say it. He was dying. It wasn't the time to say Kriyashma, but for Yaakov it was. Here was basically the time that could have been the culmination of his life. I'm ready to die. Ready to die, you say Kriyashma. Now the question is, why and what does it mean? Because Yaakov didn't really think he was going to die the next second. So what does this mean? I'm ready to die, and therefore he said Kriyashma. Why do we say Kriyashma right before death? Why is that the Minig Yisrael, before a person dies, whether he's dying Al Kiddush Hashem or he's dying in the hospital, right? We say Kriyashma, the person himself should say Kriyashma, and if he can't, then we say it with him or say it for him. Why? So one idea, I think, is, and we'll see that they really, the two ideas go together, is that it says a person has to learn Torah his entire life, even at the time of death. There's a Rambam like that. Even when a person is dying, he has to learn Torah. He has to finish his life. Torah is something that is an ongoing thing, day, night, v'agisa bo yoma v'layla, meditate in the words of Torah, day, night, every second. That is the ideal. Every second that you have, learn Torah. At least say Kriya Shema morning and evening. Therefore, since Kriya Shema is the epitome of Talmud Torah, right? It is the encapsulation of Talmud Torah. Somebody really should be learning Torah all the time. If you can't, your Yotze, the minimum, is saying Shema morning and evening. So you're learning some in the morning, some in the day, some in the day, some in the night, Yomam V'layla. Either all day and all night, or at least a portion of the day, a portion of the night. The minimum, Kriya Shema morning and evening, you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore, since a person has to be learning Torah even when he dies, so saying Kriya Shema fulfills that idea. It's only what needs to be explained, why Kriya Shema. So the concept of learning Torah all the time, that is really the mandate, and a person can do it. He doesn't have other things that he has to do, whether it's earning a living or taking care of his physical need, whatever it may be. So then he can't be learning. But really, ideally, a person should be learning Torah all the time. That should be the focus of his life. Why? Because Torah is God's will. And a person has to feel that oneness, that there's only one thing in the world, God. God is one. Everything in the world is God's will, and therefore everything in the world has to be united towards one common purpose, towards God's will. And therefore, really, a person should be learning Torah, meaning he should be involved with God's will constantly, totally. There's no place for anything else because everything is united under that oneness of God. That's what the oneness of God means. There's no place for anything else. So ideally, whenever a person can, he should be involved with God's will. And especially at the end of his life, when he can put everything together, when he sees everything in the light of the siyum of his life, the culmination of his life, that's when everything coalesces and everything he finishes and unites everything in his life from before to God. Therefore, he's learning Torah, and specifically the Torah that speaks about the unity of God, which puts the Torah into perspective. I once wanted to say an interesting idea. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef said that on Shavuos there's a mitzvah to have a nice big meal and to eat a good yontif meal. Why? Because he said, because if it wouldn't be for the day the Torah was given, how the Yosef ika b'shukah? There's a lot of Yosefs out there in the marketplace. Simple meaning is that I wouldn't be anything special if it wouldn't be for the Torah, but I'm a great Torah scholar, right? And that's only because we have the Torah. If we wouldn't have the Torah, there's a lot of Yosefs, right? I would be like a run-of-the-mill, one of many. But now, because the Torah was given, I'm special, I'm a Torah scholar, and therefore it's kedai to celebrate. That's a simple meaning. But that really doesn't sound, you know, like Rabbi Yosef bragging that, you know, I'm special because of the Torah. It's like using the Torah to make yourself great. And Rabbi Yosef surely didn't have that in mind. So I was thinking of a completely different meaning to what Rabbi Yosef said. Rabbi Yosef said is the following. If it wouldn't be for the Torah, then in me, there would be a lot of different personalities. I would be split into many, many different aspects. I would be Yosef, one Yosef when I was in the Shuk, right? That's Yosef the businessman. Then I would be Yosef the philosopher when I was learning wisdom. And then it would be Yosef the family man, the husband, Yosef the child, the son, Yosef the brother. All these aspects of my life, each one would be a different aspect with different attributes and talents, abilities, capabilities that were necessary to fulfill that role. Everybody in this world serves different roles. If it wouldn't be for the Torah, I would be basically split personalities. But because of this day that the Torah was given, there's only one Yosef. And all of these aspects have to unite into one personality that's governed by the Torah. It's not different people. It's the same Yosef in the Shuk, and the same Yosef in the Beis Medrash, and the same Yosef by his parents, and the same Yosef with his children, and the same Yosef with his wife. The Torah unites everything in life. and makes it a product of God's will, and God is one, and His will is one, and everything that I do, therefore, is a reflection of that oneness. That's what Torah is. And therefore, before a person dies, when he can put his whole life into one perspective and end it with that unity, so he wants to be learning Torah because Torah is what unifies everything, every second that the person has the ability. Torah is something that is the overall purpose of life, one single purpose. And therefore, to represent that, we say Kriya Shema, which is the unity of God, and fulfills the mitzvah of learning Torah, which is the unity of God, right before a person dies. Now I can put it all into perspective. That's what Yaakov meant. I feel now that I can take my whole life and see how it all worked, unified towards this moment. Now I can see how my whole life was put together. I put it all together. Now I'm ready to die. I hope to live longer. But I'm now able to look back and see, until I found Yosef, things didn't seem, there were a lot of loose ends in my life. Now there's no loose ends. Everything is wrapped up into that one unity. Now's the time to say Kriya Shema. Just like before a person dies, that's when you say Kriya Shema. Yaakov is ready to die, if necessary, because now I can put it all together. And that's the way the person dies on Kiddush Hashem. It's like his whole life culminated. It was going for that moment. And now he can see how everything in his life worked towards that moment, and he's able to die on Kiddush Hashem and say Kriya Shema. Just like when a person dies natural, same idea. That's the case. Yaakov Avinu, before he actually died, wanted to inculcate in his children this feeling of the oneness of God. So he called them together, and being part of the when the Jewish people are united, then everybody can see that oneness. We're united under the oneness of God. So he called them all together to be united, and he wanted to let them know the case. When that moment would come, when the entire world would unite, and it would be clear that everything is united under the oneness of God. When is that? When Mashiach comes. The Kades, the deadline. That final moment when, as it says in our Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, V'yayosu kula maguda echos la'asos ritzon chabalev avsholim. Right? That all the world will unite into one unit to do God's will with a perfect heart. That's when the Geula, when Mashiach will come, right? Tein pachtecho Hashem Elokeinu kol ma'asecho, tein moschal kol ma'asho barasa, v'yiru'ucho kol ha'maisin, v'yishtachamu l'chol kol ha'bruin. Everything will serve God together. That's describing when Mashiach will come. At that moment, the whole world will unite under the unity of God. It'll be clear that every single thing in this world is united, has one purpose, one creator, and that will hallmark the unity of God. And that's what we say in Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem who's our God now, but not accepted by most of the nations of the world as a God. Hashem Echad, one day God will really be one, because the whole world will unite underneath Him. And that will emphasize and bring out the oneness of God completely. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu wanted to impress upon his children this oneness. So he gathered them together, united them, and he wanted to tell them when, and reveal to them when that moment would come when the entire world would unite under the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's called the cage. That's called the deadline, the time for Mashiach to come. Now, that's what the Medrash says, that Yaakov wanted to reveal to his children when Mashiach would come. And for some reason, it was hidden from him. And he said to them, maybe there's something wrong with you. Maybe you're not united under God. Maybe you don't believe in one God. And they said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He answered, Baruch Shem Kavod. The Rambam, that's what the Medrash says. So what was Yaakov's intention? To tell him when Mashiach's going to come. And the Shema Yisrael was only because he had a problem with that. And then he answered, Baruch Shem Kavod. Listen to how the Rambam describes this scene. The Rambam says, Nesoris hi biyadeinu. We have a tradition. When Yaakov Avinu gathered his children together on his deathbed in Egypt, he commanded them and what's it called? There's mezaris then. He, what's a good word for zeros? He, what?
Hastened them?
Yeah, but more, like here, he got them worked up. The, I can't think of a good word for it, right? About God's oneness. And the way of God that unites everything in God's service that his forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, followed. V'sho'alosom, and he asked them, v'omer lohem, v'onai, shema yesh b'chem paslus, mishenu omeni mi b'yichud Hashem. Maybe you're not all unified under God, and don't believe in the unity of God. Ke'inyin sh'omer lana Moshe Rabbeinu, as Moshe Rabbeinu said before he died, pen yesh b'chem isho isha, maybe there's somebody here whose heart is going after other gods. Not that oneness. And so they said, Anu kulam v'yomru Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. They all answered and declared Shema Yisrael, meaning Kolomar Shema mimenu avinu Yisrael. Listen, our father Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. No, we are united, and we're united in our belief in the unity of God. Pasach hazokin v'yomar Baruchin kavod machus l'vod. Yaakov Avinu answered Baruchin kavod. Lafichach nagu kol Yisrael lomar shevach sheshibach bo Yisrael hazokin achar pasuk zeh. That's why even though in the Torah, when it says Shema, it doesn't mention Baruch Shem Kavod, right away after Hashem Echad, it says V'yohavta in the Torah, since Yaakov Avinu used this praise, we say it. But we say it low. What's the idea? But the Rambam doesn't seem to say he wanted to tell him when Mashiach's coming. But that's exactly the point. He wanted to tell him the case, the final time when everything would unite. And it was held back from him. So he thought it's because there's something wrong with them. So he asked them, right, why am I being prevented from telling you that moment of unity when everything will be united? And they said, it's not because we are not united and that we don't have in our hearts that unity of God, because Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yaakov then realized the reason it's being held from him is because it's not just that final moment that represents the real unity of God. But it's an ongoing thing, every day. Learn Torah, if you can, all the time, unite everything in the day under Torah. You can't do that, at least morning and night. Unite everything from the night before, when you get up in the morning, Shema Yisrael, you say, unite everything from the daytime before you go to sleep. Take it day by day. It's not going to be that ultimate, final unity of the Rebbe Shalom that's going to come to the end of history. But it's an ongoing thing, day by day. Unite the day before you go to sleep. Unite your night after you wake up in the morning. See the world, day by day, the unity of the Rebbe Mishlom. It's not the total unity. It's not the ideal, but this is the way a person has to see it. So the main thing is not to let you know when the case is. If I want you to know about the unity of God, I have to instruct you better how to do it on a piecemeal basis, day by day, rather than wait for that grand moment when everything will unite under the Rebbe Mishlom. That grand moment's not going to come unless you do it every day, piecemeal, in the way you can do it. That's why the Medrash compares this to the following. The Medrash explains why we say Baruch Shem Kavod low, and not out loud. Okay, it says, there was once a princess who smelled some kind of dish that was being made in the kitchen. But it was tzike kedera. It wasn't a royal dish. It was like, you know, for the servants, the some kind of, what's it called? What's a good word for it? Some kind of, you know, simple, more vulgar kind of food, right? Fast food that they were making. And it wasn't the royal food that the princess really. And she, what's it called? She wanted this food. So to bring it to her openly wasn't really honorable for the princess to bring her, you know, some hamburgers and french fries. But she wanted it. So they brought it to her quietly. So too, to say Baruch Shem Kavod is like the hamburgers and the french fries. It's not the real royal meal. But bring it quietly. That's what Yaakov said. Yaakov said, you know what? I thought that I'm going to have to tell my children that grand moment when the whole world will unite. And that's the real unity of Hashem. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is that Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus of Ved, the Malchus of the Rebbe Shalom, that he's representative of his oneness on an ongoing basis. It's not the ultimate oneness. It's ongoing. It's morning and night, and that day for that day, and the next day for the next day. It doesn't take the whole world and put it, but it takes your day and your experiences and unites them under the Rebbe Shalom in a very piecemeal way. That's compared to a hamburger and French fries, compared to a French roast and with all the trimmings. That's the ultimate. But therefore, the Torah didn't mention. Torah mentioned one day God will be one, the ultimate oneness. And therefore, you have to lead your life in one. Everything has to be united under God, because one day everything's going to represent that total oneness. But Yaakov Avinu realized that he can't reveal that one day. You can't live your life just for that one day. But you have to live it on an ongoing basis, and every day unite the Rebbe Hashem. Therefore, he said, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Ol Voed. So therefore, we say it low, because it's really not the grandiose ideal. It's not the real royal food. It's something, what's it called, lesser than that. So we say it low, because Lamaisa, that's the way we have to live. We have to relate to the oneness of God in a more piecemeal way than in the grandiose, final unity of everything in creation. There's only one day of the year where we say it out loud. When is that? On Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur represents a day out of this world where you can see, on one day, already the echoes of that total unity that will one day be. So on Yom Kippur, you can say the Baruch Shem Kavod out loud, because on Yom Kippur, the hamburger and French fries becomes a French roast. Because then it becomes, what's it called, the unity of that day alone. Right? On Yom Kippur, it's almost like we see the whole world unite. On Yom Kippur, all Jews are united. Everybody is really directed totally towards the Rebbe Mishalolam. It's not just the piecemeal thing. It's the piecemeal that has in it seeds and echoes of the totality. And therefore you could say it out loud. Then the hamburger itself becomes royal food on Yom Kippur. That's how we say it out loud. So that's the idea. The idea being that we have to learn from Yaakov Avinu that a person has to unify his entire life when his life reaches its end. And everything in life has to be Torah, which unifies everything. It's all God's will. And if you are learning Torah constantly and you're involved in Torah, then everything that happens has one common purpose, comes from one common source, and it's all unified under God. And when a person reaches the pinnacle of his life, he's ready to leave this world, he has to unify everything, look back and see the unity of his life. And when Yaakov was leaving the world, he wanted his children to be able to carry that on in the future. And therefore they said Shema Yisrael, right, to let him know that they had that unity. But Yaakov realized that the unity is not something that's just a future one day when everything will be united, but it's an ongoing piecemeal kind of unity. And that's the way, that's what he had better to tell his children, how to bring that unity on a piecemeal basis. Each of you, he gave them blessings. Each of you have a different aspect of this godliness, and I'll give you the bracha that each one should contribute their part towards the whole. Each one unify their life using their capabilities for one common purpose, and together unify. And that's the way that eventually you'll get to the cage, to the total unification of the world. And really, that's what it says in that prayer. It says, "V'chein take pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha." Give your fear, awe, over all of your creation, the emoscha kol mashabrasa, and your awe over everything that you created, the ra'ucha kol ha'maisim, everything will fear you, the ishtachvu l'chol, bring all the creations will bow to you, right? the Yayasu Kula Maduda Echos, and they'll all make one unit together, unified, to do your will with a full heart. That's the ultimate goal. But we say right after that, Kamoshi Adanu Hashem Elokecha, like we know, Shasholtom Lefanecha, that you rule over everything, right? Shasholtom Fanecha, Oz Biyadcha, you have strength in your arm, Ugvura Biminecha, and strength in your right hand, Vishimcha Norach, and your name is awesome over everything you created. Meaning, we haven't reached that time yet. But you know the way to get it? By us recognizing that on a daily basis, little by little in our own lives, eventually we'll get to the point where the whole world will unite. But you build it day by day, piecemeal. That's the Baruch Shem Kavod. The Baruch Shem Kavod is what Yaakov said. You know what? Instead of telling them the cage, the final unity, I'm going to tell them how to do it, how to bring it in a daily way that if every day you unite, that day, unite your purpose in life, the things that happen to you, the things that you do, are all united for one common purpose. Eventually, you'll bring the world to its goal. And I'm going to end with a story that brings this out. It's just a story. It's not a chazal. But the story fits this perfectly. That the Baruch Shem Kavod will eventually bring to the Shema Yisrael. How? The story goes, there was a man reading a magazine, and his little five-year-old daughter was bothering him incessantly. He couldn't make any headway in the magazine. So he saw that one of the pages in the magazine was a map of the world. So he tore out the map, tore it into 25 little pieces, called his daughter over and said, here's a puzzle. It's a map of the world. Go put it together, and don't come back until you finish. He figured the girl's only five. She has no idea what the picture of the map of the world looks like. So the only way she's going to be able to put it together is by matching the contours of the tears. If you have one of these jigsaw puzzles with 500 pieces and you don't know what the picture is, very difficult to put it together because you're going to have to, how are you going to do it? You're going to try to match how the pieces fit together. If you know what the picture is, you can take the colors or whatever and figure out what goes where. But if you don't know the picture, it's a very difficult thing to do. So they figured the girl is going to have to look at the tears and put them together based on the contours of the tear. Take her hours. 15 minutes later, she's back, I finished. It's impossible. Unless you knew the picture of the map of the world, there is no way you could have put that together in 15 minutes. She says, come and look. She goes, and he sees on the top of a glass, top of a coffee table, the picture is 100% the map of the world reconstructed. He said, wow, I didn't know you're a genius. You're 5 years old, you must have known what the picture looked like, and you put it together according to the picture, not according to the tears, the contour of the tears. How did you know what the world looked like? She said, I didn't. But it was very easy, because on the other side of the page, there was a picture of a person. And I just put the person together, and the whole world fell into place. If you want the world to unify, you have to start by unifying yourself. It's not the grandiose unity of all creation, but that's the way to get there. If you want the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, you have to start with the Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Va'ed on an ongoing basis. Okay. Any questions? Yes. Yeah? Somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said you have to learn Torah every minute of the day. It's all your dying day.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if you're doing that the time of your death, Hashem won't be able to take your neshama away, because the same as David HaMelech, he learned all the time and the Satan couldn't even come and take him.
So why did he die? Because the Satan made something happen that forced him to stop learning.
That's
okay,
right.
The Mela, that's how the Rabban Hashem takes verse of the neshama. Right. The person has to try to learn till the moment that he dies. However, what happens? Person goes, gets what's it called, unconscious, can't learn. Or he, what's it called, something happens that takes away his attention, like by Governor Mella. Uh-huh. So the Rabban Hashem sees to it, people have to die, uh-huh. That for whatever reason, they stop for that second. And after that, they can annihilate.
Yeah,
it could be at that point the person can't learn Torah anymore, at least not the Torah of this world.
Yeah,
could be. I don't know.
But then he won't be able, then that's the time when you can
right, could be.
Torah
right.
For him.
Right. Go ahead.
And if you have another presence of mind to say it,
same thing. Then people say it with him or for him. Or
no,
whatever.
No, no.
Yeah.
He's in a coma. He's in a sleep.
Right.
And nobody has said it. So what happens?
Nothing. You missed that opportunity.
What's that?
The person can still die.
Uh-huh. And, no, I don't mean he can still die. He's
and
already dead, but nobody has.
Right, I'm saying. So you missed that opportunity. But the person's not going to affect the person because somebody didn't do what was right. Doesn't affect the person eternally or whatever. He's missing. It was something that could have been a positive thing. He missed that. Just like if a person that didn't say Kriya Shema one day, missed Kriya Shema. He missed that out. He missed it. It's, what's it called? It's something that he can't make up. He missed it out, but it's not going to be the only thing that he's going to be judged on in the next world, and that's going to be the major pivotal thing of his life.